This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Marlon Lele, and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes. I'm Tongan Australian, and I've made the switch up from the scrum to the studio and absolutely love sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people on this show, as well as Nisian Footy and that Pacific Sports Show on TV. If you've listened to us before, you know I'm also joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is a senior Solomon Islands journalist studying Adelaide at the moment, and it's Priestley Hubru. Hello, Priestley.
Hello, Sam.
It is great to have you back on. As I mentioned, you are studying in Australia, away from home in the Solomon Islands. How do you stay connected to the homeland being away from there?
It's always good to have the internet around, so always, get connected with people back home on the internet, especially WhatsApp, and also reading updates on Facebook and that kind of thing.
It's always nice to have technology in this day and age to stay up to date, but more importantly, what about the food?
Although I miss the food back in the Solomons, but we have the Adelaide Central Market here, which I can access local food like cassava and taro, which is also available here. So that's pretty good to have a taste of a bit of home in here in Adelaide.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. And let's get to my next co-host. She has just finished her Master's in Diplomacy and International Relations at the University of the South Pacific and is a very talented netball player as well. It's Te Serake Kaubawa. Come the Māori.
Māori from Kiribati.
Sorry, not netball, volleyball. I don't know why I read that wrong. But are you good at netball as well, though? Or just volleyball?
No, I wish. Just volleyball.
Oh, my apologies on that. But
oh, good.
Well, some of the team from Radio Australia were in Kiribati last week for the launch in your country. Yeah. How was it over there?
Yes. Oh, it was great. It was a fantastic launch. I get to meet the director and your technician. So it was very good. I mean, seeing people who came to support the launch was awesome. The food, well, especially the food is good. So it was amazing.
How was the cake?
Oh, the cake. You should have seen the big cake. It was delicious. Yeah. We couldn't even finish the whole thing. We have to bring some home.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much did you take home? Because that's always normal in the islands where you make a big fee,
broken arms. We call it broken arms here.
Broken. I love that. You're probably still eating the cake right now throughout the week. Perfect. I love it. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. You'll hear from two Pacific Island athletes who have spent the last 10 weeks in Florida in the US trying to make the NFL.
So as soon as I told them, like, oh, I'm going to give up rugby and I'm going to try out the NFL. And they was like, what game is that? They was like, what game is that? I was like, it's NFL. Like, well, how do they play their game? And then I took a screen record on my phone and I sent it to them, like, this is how you play the game. Like, you can do forward pass. You can't do forward pass in rugby, but you can do forward pass in this game.
Yeah, that's Fijian Janiro Wakem. And you'll also hear from Samoan Lucky Tussi. Plus, you'll hear what went down in the FIFA World Cup qualifiers. There's also news in athletics, boxing, volleyball and basketball. And, of course, our usual fun and games. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yeah, here on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we always like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
It's the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking in the whole world, the whole world and country has an opinion on. If it's making waves, it'll definitely be on the Coconut Wireless. Priestley, let's start in the Solomon Islands. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so in Solomon Islands, they've been following our six national soccer players who are plying their trade here in Australia. The assumption was that all six players have been playing in the NPL level, which is not true. So only three players are playing in the NPL level, which is under the second tier league underneath the A League, which is the premier soccer league in Australia. But the NPL league, each state have their own state NPL league. And out of these six players, one is playing in the New South Wales NPL league with Wollongong Wolves, which is Rafael Lee, and the two others are playing in the South Australian NPL league here in Adelaide. That is Javin Wai with the Campbelltown City FC and David Jr. with the Croydon FC. Otherwise, the three other players are playing in the State League, which is a level down under the NPL South Australia League here in South Australia. So there are a total of five of these National League players who are playing here in Australia, two in the NPL South Australia League and three others in the South Australia League, except for Rafael Lee, who is playing in the South Wales NPL League. And there's been a lot of following, especially on the Facebook pages of these clubs. You know, these are the only national players in the Solomons that are playing outside of the country, apart from those playing in Fiji and other Pacific Island countries like Papua New Guinea. And so there's so much following and so much fans back home that are following each and every game that these players are actually playing here, especially here in South Australia.
Are they in the national team as well?
Yes, so all of these six players have been in the national team and they've played their last, especially one of the senior players, Michael Alafa, who thought he would retire after the South Pacific Games in 2023. But however, he was also involved in the World Cup qualifiers towards the end of last year and still being recalled to the national team. So they are all national players that have been given the opportunity to come and play here in the National Premier League of South Australia and the New South Wales NPL.
Hopefully their experience here, they take it back to their national team, and it's going to help them as much as possible. So that's great news there. Te Sirake, what's the talk of the town in Kiribati outside of the Big Cake?
Well, first of all, it's so great to hear about the Solomon Islands sports, and I wish and hope that we will have, you know, our national players playing for regional and international teams as well. But for now, the Kiribati Athletes Association, they have been preparing their players for the coming regional games. And just last week, one of their KAA member, Reita Kakianaro, he went to China representing Kiribati at the World Indoors Championship. That was his first international ever competition. He ran the 600 meter on Friday last week, and he's the son of the Kiribati's first ever male Olympian, Mr. Kakianaro Nagiri. So that was a huge milestone for the KAA and especially for him as well, as he was competing among the best sprinters in the world. His experiences, of course, and exposure are valuable lessons as he embarks on his sport journey. Prior to his selection, he was competed with other athletes here in Kiribati, and luckily he got selected and went to Nanjing, China, for representing Kiribati. And also, now we have an upcoming inter-school competition. I don't know if in Australia, if you know, you guys do that inter-school competition on field and track sports. But here in Kiribati, it's a huge thing. Like, you know, all the schools here in South Tarawa and Peso and sometimes other high schools on the Outer Islands as well come to join this competition. It's usually a 2 days sport game, and it's also a time for school patriotism among people to support their school, and it's very intense as well.
You're not wrong about that. I know Fiji have their one coming up, and Tonga has their athletics inter-school competitions coming up for athletics. So it's a massive event around the Pacific. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that when the results come in. As always, thank you so much for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless, Priestley and Tesarake.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. Priestley, what's caught your eye in the Solomon Islands?
As usual in the Solomons, it's another big soccer competition that is coming up starting this weekend, which is will be the 2 weeks competition. That is the OFC Men's Champions League, which will kick off in Honiara on Sunday. So we have the champions club from Solomon Islands, Fiji, New Zealand, New Caledonia, Tahiti, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, and Cook Islands all be converging in Solomon Islands, Honiara, for the next couple of weeks for this OFC Men's Champions League. So there are two groups. Group A have the AS Tiga Sport from New Caledonia, Rewa FC, which is the champion of Fiji, Auckland FC, which is the champion of New Zealand, AS Pirai, the champion of Tahiti. And in Group B, Central Coast from Solomon Islands, the host, Ifira Blackbird FC from Vanuatu, Tupapa Marirenga FC from Cook Islands, and Hekari United FC from PNG. All clubs have already been arrived in Honiara. The first was Ifira Black from Vanuatu, and there are a few other clubs arrived yesterday, except for Hekari and Rewa from Hekari from PNG and Rewa, which will soon be arrived over the next couple of days. So there's going to be whole lot of soccer competition happening in Honiara. As the venue has been earmarked as Lawson Stammer Stadium, but I hope probably the finals and the semifinals will be hosted in the big stadium that was the main stadium during the Pacific Games in 2023. So the competition will continue in pool games, and with the top two in each pool going to the semifinals around Wednesday 9 of April, and the final will be on Saturday 12 of April.
I love that. Hopefully they do play in that beautiful stadium they have there in the Solomon Islands. But who are the favourites here?
I'm sure Solomon Islands, having been defeated in the World Cup qualifier, I think they will try to make a statement in the club level. But as always, you have top clubs from Tahiti and New Caledonia and also Fiji and even Hekari from PNG, who has been one of the top contenders in this club level. But as usual, I guess Auckland FC representing New Zealand is one of the toughest team to beat in this kind of competition.
And who are the Alava Smoky, the underdog? Who would be the underdog in this one to potentially make some noise and cause a few upsets?
Yes, it's good to see a small club like Tupapa Marenga from Cook Islands, and they're making their mark. So they are quite an underdog. But I guess Ifira Black from Vanuatu too is also a club to be reckoned with, and I guess they'll be trying to make their mark as well, especially these two clubs from Vanuatu and Cook Islands.
Yes, Tupapa won in the Cook Islands to qualify. So we spoke to Pauline Dean on the show. So you can listen back to that chat on the Fresh Off the Field podcast. And that's who I'm going for, Tupapa. So hopefully they get up over there. But from across the Pacific, what stories do you have for us there?
Yeah, so as we all know, New Zealand All Whites has qualified for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. This was after their 3-0 win over New Caledonia on Monday this week. There was the semi-final of the Oceania qualifiers, which had New Caledonia against Tahiti in the semifinals, and New Zealand against Fiji. So New Caledonia had beaten Tahiti 3-0, and New Zealand beat Fiji 7-0, which means New Caledonia and New Zealand went on to the final on Monday, where New Zealand beat New Caledonia 3-0. So New Zealand has an automatic entry to the World Cup already. So far, we have New Zealand from the Oceania region, Japan and Iran from the Asia Confederation, and the three host country, which is USA, Canada, and Mexico, and Argentina from the South American Confederation, so far have booked their places for the World Cup that will be taking place in USA, Canada, and Mexico from June 11 to July 19 in 2026. However, as we know, the next year's World Cup will have 48 teams, which has been expanded from past World Cup, which only has like 32 teams. But now with 48 teams, New Caledonia could have an outside a chance to also qualify because they have given two other extra spots. Extra two spots for what they call the Intercontinental, Inter-Confederation Cup. So New Caledonia has been one of those six teams that will be taken from each of the confederation, except for the three hosts. So New Caledonia could have a chance for a playoff for extra two spots when six of these countries come together to try and qualify for extra two spots by March 2026. So, although New Caledonia came second, they also have a chance to also qualify if they qualify against the six other countries that will be qualifying for these two spots early next year. However, New Zealand, as the only country qualified from the one spot that was given to OFC, is now ready to go to the World Cup to represent Oceania.
Well, exciting news for New Caledonia. They still have a chance. And speaking of New Caledonia, we actually spoke to Mikel Paturo Di Cromo last week on the show. So you can hear that great conversation via the Fresh Off the Field podcast. Great work. But what else have you got for us around? I think it's the PNG Hunters.
Yes, so Port Moresby is ready to witness another rugby league competition between their own PNG Hunters team, which is participating in the Queensland Rugby League Cup. We'll be hosting Brisbane Tigers in Port Moresby this weekend. This will be run for March to be held at the iconic Papua New Guinea National Football Stadium, commonly known as Santos National Football Stadium, and formerly Lloyd Robson Oval. So this will be run for March, as I've said. PNG Hunters were on by in the third round of the Queensland Cup competition. In round two, they were defeated by Sunshine Coast 28-6. And the round one matches, as we know, for the Queensland Rugby League Cup were postponed due to the Cyclone Alfred, which was supposed to be held on April 19. But that the round one was postponed. So Port Moresby rugby league fans are hoping that to support to be behind the PNG Hunters team for this iconic one of the round games in Port Moresby. PNG Hunters, as we know, is one of the clubs participating in the Queensland Cup for this season. It is a professional rugby league football club based in Papua New Guinea. They were formed in 2013 and competed in the Queensland Cup, a second tier competition in Australia. The Hunters won the Queensland Cup in 2017. So hope that they will be doing well this time around to emulate their win that was done in 2017, and hopefully they can start with a win against the Brisbane Tigers this weekend in Port Moresby.
Yeah, I think between now and until the PNG side comes into the NRL competition, I feel like there's always going to be a lot of eyes and a lot of expectation on the PNG Hunters and seeing how they go in the competition, because I think it's going to be a vital pathway for when that does happen when they get into the NRL.
Yeah. So that's right. So I'm sorry, but so this PNG Hunters is also one of the feeder clubs for the Dolphins in the Australian National Rugby League, and they will be a feeder to the PNG National Rugby League team if they are formed in 2028.
Beautiful work. And now let's get to Te Saraki. How about in Kiribati? What do you want to share?
For volleyball, there will be a competition, I think a regional competition, hosted in the Solomon Islands under 18 beach volleyball. So that's a huge milestone as well for this competition, because Kiribati has recently started this beach volleyball. So this uh, this uh, they have been training so hard for that championship that will be, you know, happening around the 3rd to 10th of April next month. And so there's a lot of fundraising for them, and hoping that, you know, they will do a good job representing Kiribati in that volleyball, under 18 beach volleyball competition. And also, maybe this might not be related to sports, but it does in a way that, you know, a lot of the schools here on South Tarawa have no proper multi-purposes court. So thanks to the Australian government, through their Educate program, they have funded three multi-purposes courts in three high schools here in South Tarawa. And that had helped a lot of, you know, those students in with their talents, because, you know, we have a great athletes and talents here in Kiribati, but because of infrastructure constraints, that's one of the major issues that I've been avoiding a lot of those young people to develop their sport talents. So yes, thanks to the Australian government again for those multi-purposes courts.
It's 100% related to sport. What you've just mentioned there, without those facilities, the sport doesn't happen. So it's great there's investment happening for the young kids to get involved and just pick up and play any sport that they want, because they've got the grounds to do it on. But when you say volleyball, beach volleyball, for yourself, are you in beach volleyball or on court volleyball?
Court volleyball. So like I mentioned earlier, beach volleyball wasn't a huge thing, but Kiribati is now exploring it more into it. So, you know, they just selected their best players from court volleyballs to play beach volleyball.
So that's lead me to my next question. Have they selected you? Is that on the cards?
Selected me?
Yes.
Yeah, I wish, but I guess I'm not that, you know. Maybe I need to get to be back on track with more trainings.
Okay, more training. Fair enough. We'll see what the future holds for you. It could be
Yes. You
could be there or thereabouts, or just reporting on it. Either way, you're going to be doing a great job. But from across the Pacific, what's caught your attention?
The Super Rugby Women's, the 2025 Super Rugby Women's competition. I've seen their men, the Fijian Durua men played, and so far, I would say, you know, I kind of feel bad for their coach, but I hope, you know, that there's other times that they could do much better. But for the women's, for the Fijian Drua women's, thanks to the new, new head coach that was selected last year, I think he was the one that kind of pushed those talented women to, you know, toward their capacity in playing for Fiji. And it's like for Fiji to host two matches, that's an absolutely great for them, you know. A top two finish in the regular season the Durua women host. And, it was a great game. I mean, beating the Western Force.
Is that the church bells going off in the back? They need to get to church?
Yes. No, it's... I don't know. It's sorry. Maybe just give me 2 seconds.
Nah, it's all right. Well, the bells have stopped. I think everyone's got their lunch and we can continue on with the show. That's all good. Food is important. So continue on with the drawer.
Okay. So with the thanks to their efforts, the Fijian Drua women, they will be playing for the semifinals. And then we'll be traveling to Australia to play for that. So it's despite their losses, just a well done job for them, you know, for getting into the semi final.
Yeah, they've done well. They've got the bye this week, the Fijian Drua women, and They didn't get the home semi, but they will be playing semi-finals footy. So hopefully they can make another grand final. It's impressive in a short amount of time how many grand finals they've actually made for the Super Rugby Women's competition. But as always, thank you so much for Priestley and Te Saraki. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. Yeah, let's have a bit of fun now. It's my favourite part of the show where I get to know my co-host a little bit more, plus see who is a good liar. And this is Gyaman Stupwer, which is Tok Pisin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. The other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stupwer. And Priestley, we're just going to go straight off the back fence and we're going to start with you.
Okay, let's go.
I love the energy. Here we go. He's ready to lie. Let's go.
First one, I can drive a car. Second one, I can drive an outboard motor engine attached to a canoe. And the final one, I can speak, read, and understand four languages. Which one is the lie?
Oh, he has come prepared. Kaisaraki, he has come prepared. Yeah, which one's a lie in this one?
All right. A lie would be the second one.
You're going to stick one, the engine attached to a canoe. I'm going to go
yes,
with...
I'll stick with two.
Okay, surely you can drive a car. Surely something. I can't drive manual, but I feel like surely you can drive at least an automatic. Licensed or not, doesn't matter. It's about driving. And I'm going to go with... Nah, you can't speak four languages.
Okay, so I got both of you. I don't drive a car. I don't have a license. My wife does.
Oh, there you go. No way.
So as a boy from the island, I can drive an outboard motor engine and I can speak English, which is one of the languages. I can speak Solomon Pidgin, which is second.
Yeah.
And I can speak my own indigenous language and another dialect of my indigenous language. So that's a total of four languages.
There you go.
Oh, there he is.
That's impressive.
But I wouldn't agree with you can't drive a car because you can still drive a car, but for now you don't have a license.
That's what I was assuming. I was like, it doesn't matter if you're licensed or not in the islands. You can, like, someone knows how to drive a car.
My company, when I was in the Solomons, they gave me a car, but I was already in my late 30s, so I didn't want to learn how to drive because back then I was also... You know, drinking a lot and things like that. So I don't want to drive. So my wife does.
Yeah, that's a great message. Don't drink and drive. Absolutely. That's
or
a
don't
big
drink
no.
or don't drive to drink.
Okay, there we go. Desiraki, let's get to you. What's your lie? I mean, yeah, your three things.
Mine will be easy. I'm very attentive. I'm 5'4", and I can drive a car.
But have you just... Did you say, I can drive a car? Have you just stolen Priestley's one just because you were short on giving three?
I don't know.
I'm 5'4". Oh, Priestley, I'm going to let you go first here. Take it away. What are you thinking? Attentive.
Yeah, I'm guessing here. I think the lie is you are 5'4". Second one.
Okay.
Yeah, 5'4" is really... That's short. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one as well. I feel like you're at least 5'5".
I think you both got wrong. Oh. I don't drive a car.
Wow. You don't drive a car either.
No, well, the thing here with the road, it's too narrow. I mean, I drove once, but not for now.
But you can drive.
Well, then you can drive if you drove once.
No, it was under instructions, you know.
But you were behind the wheel and you put your foot on the accelerator. That means you drove the car.
Yes, for 5 minutes.
that's a disputable lie.
There is, but that's got to be a first as well. Two people have come on here and said, yeah, they can't drive. I can drive, but not very well. So there you have it. There we have it. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the power of Pacific Sports.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the results and news. We always love hearing from the people involved in sports on the local, national, or even international levels. So, Te Saraki, we're going to start with you here. Who did you chat to this week?
So thankfully, I got a chance, finally a chance to interview the first ever woman president of the Kiribati Athletics Association. Her name is Lucida Tanielu Dagamosata. And we first hit off our interview with the challenges that they're facing right now.
So in terms of challenges, I guess the major one I can think of right now is the lack of facilities here in Kiribati. Our athletes train and compete in a field on bare ground. We don't have any standard tracks at all in Kiribati here. So, yeah, that would be, I guess, the biggest challenge that I can think of in terms of facilities and noting the level of facilities we have in that respect. Equipment also would be a key challenge that our athletes face.
In terms of facilities challenge, are there any ways that the government of Kiribati has been doing to address that challenge so that they can improve, that the KAA members could improve their talent?
Well, in terms of government support, government is very supportive of the National Federation here in Kiribati. I guess with funding constraints also, that would be another factor that would be a challenge in terms of how to address our challenges that we as sporting federations face. But I guess we've heard that, like, it's been common knowledge and it's been shared that there are plans underway for government to be there looking at improving our facilities. And of course, that will not only benefit our athletics sports, but it will also be of great benefit to other sports such as rugby, soccer, probably even volleyball, those sports that use a field the same way that we do also.
That's good. I know that there's other KAA members have been traveling, representing Kiribati regionally, internationally as well. So do you want to talk a bit more of the successes? Because I know there's a lot of successes despite those challenges.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. We do consider that we have quite a number of successful achievements throughout the years. We are able to participate in a lot of international and regional competitions in athletics and also in multi-sports events. Right now, we have a student traveling back from the World Athletics Indoors Championship that was held in Nanjing last weekend. He ran a personal best there, and it was a great experience for him. It was even his first time to travel outside of Kiribati. Also, I guess key thing to note also is just recently it's been announced and verified by the Oceania Athletics that we have a new record for the women's 100 meter.
Yeah, that's the one in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, right? So this girl, she's lived here in Kiribati all her life. She just migrated last year to New Zealand, but she had been an athlete here, and she had already participated in the World Junior Championships in Tobago and Trinidad the year before. And then last year when she moved, she had this desire to continue training, and she was part of the athletics track team at her school, at her high school in Auckland. And she's been very successful and has been working very hard, as we can see from her results last week. She participated in the Auckland School's athletics championships, and she ran a lot, personal best in her 200 meters and 100 meter events. But the 100 meter was the one where she set a new national record for Kiribati now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really good, and we're very excited because that record has been, if I try to remember now, it's been in place since 2007. So it's a great achievement for us to have, a new record, and it's a great achievement for our female athletes.
That's a huge milestone for Kiribati, especially for the KAA. Do you think, would there be any possible scholarships for, well, let's just hope she gets a scholarship in, you know, in her school. But do you think there will be any future scholarships for KAA members?
Well, there are Olympic Solidarity funded scholarships that we can apply for, especially for athletes at that level. We consider them our elite athletes, and so they've been doing very well, like probably doing, setting new national records, like this girl, Nei Fiongo, in New Zealand, and the boy, Reita, who just returned from Nanjing. So a lot of, we have other athletes as well, and a lot of them will be able to, I guess, fight for a place for a scholarship, and that's what we will put in place as part of our plans to support their progress, their progression in this area. Yeah,
that's well. It's all for a great future for KAA members, right? And hoping that there will be funding that could assist with the facility issue at your KAA. So, yes. Do you have anything to add or?
No, but thank you very much for the interview and for bringing to, I guess, highlighting what we've some of our a few of our achievements so far, and it's been good to be able to share that and also to take this opportunity as well to thank our government, to thank the our local NOC, the Kiribati National Olympic Committee, and especially the World Athletics and Oceania Athletics, who are the main supporters of our athletics program here for our Kiribati Athletics Association. Thank you.
Thank you for that amazing story. And this week, I also chatted to a couple of Pacifica men who are giving a new sport a crack, Samoan Lakitasi and Fijian Janiro Wakem. They've spent the last 10 weeks learning American football in an attempt to try and make the NFL, a sport where the likes of Jordan Mailata, you know, they've made it big there. Both boys are switching codes from rugby union and rugby league to NFL. And first up is the 6'6" Samoan Lakitasi, who is one of seven kids. And I started by asking him if all the kids played footy from a young age.
Yeah, so all my brothers, they play rugby league at a community. And then my brothers also play rugby union at a school as well. So, yeah.
And how was, I guess, the Samoan culture in your family from when they came over from Samoa to Brisbane? How was that upheld in your family?
It was a really blessed for my family. Especially mum and dad, you know, they sacrificed a lot getting us seven kids spring to Brisbane from Samoa. You know, it's just a lot of hustle, but right now I want to give back to them what I can.
And how did the opportunity come up? Like who planted the seed for, hey, there's a potential route, say like what Jordan Mailata did, and try out American football? How did that come about?
I was playing, I was training for Samoa, Queensland Samoa. One of the guys that owns the store, Grubby's, his name's Nacho, call him Ben Niomata. He brought up the information about NFL. I think it was like 3 years ago, but you know, in my head, I was like, nah, I just want to, you know, stay home, be around with family. But then last year, when he popped up the same question, that's when he said, we got to try it out for the NFL. That's when I realized, okay, sweet. Let's give it a crack.
Man, that's a crazy, I guess, story in terms of, like, that's how the seed was planted, that the guy from the burger shop said, hey, you should try out one of the hardest sports in the world and just have a crack at it. Did you, yeah. Like, did you just immediately think, okay, sweet, like, who do I reach out to? How do I even get this journey started?
So he pretty much had the whole contact with the NFL. So he like hit up with one of the managers up in Melbourne. He was a big manager around UFC, rugby league, rugby union as well. So he messaged him to invite him to come over to watch my game for Queensland Samoa to see if I was good enough to do the next step or do something else, like what the NFL IPP was. So after that game, we talked about it. The question he asked me was, would you want to continue on rugby or do you want to do something else? I said, all right, let's try something else. He said, okay, sweet. We'll do NFL. I was like, okay, hopefully he has all the contacts on the NFL side, and I was just working, providing for my family. When he messaged me about the NFL, I had to try out at the Gold Coast, you know, for the videos to submit through the scouting. So they were scouting, right? So they were scouting in America. So once I did the tryout, they submitted through the video, through the scouting, and yeah, I was here. So less grateful.
Man, that is unbelievable. That's how it just started. And then from there, when I guess you got the feedback and there's an opportunity, who did you tell first? Like your parents, your siblings, that this was going to be a new route for yourself?
I spoke to my mom. She wasn't really happy to it from the NFL. She didn't know what NFL was. She even said no going to the trial as well. So I had to tell her that I was going to work. I ended up driving down to the coast and doing my tryout. Yeah, that was my...
it doesn't matter how big you are. When mum says something, it's all like, oh, I don't want to go against her, but I know in my heart that's what I want to do. How was that? Just keeping it a bit of a secret, knowing that you're following your heart, but at the same time, I don't want to disappoint mum as well.
Yeah, she was a really tough one. She thought that I went to work in the morning because I came home early, and she thought that, are you finished work early? I was like, yeah, you know, our boss just let us home early.
Yes. Oh, you try to keep that straight face. I don't want to disappoint.
Yeah, I know. It was really tough, man. Oh, I was like, I'm sorry, mom. But it was like, I feel like it was for a reason.
For a good reason.
Yeah.
All right. How did she eventually find out? Please tell me you got to have the opportunity to tell her, or did she find out another route?
Definitely.
Yeah, okay.
So I spoke to my older brother. He lives up in Makaira at the moment, but I knew he was coming over for a wedding. So I told him the explanation about the NFL that I wanted to try out. And there was a IPP camp, like a 10-week camp that I wanted to attend. He was really happy. He knew that I wanted to do it. My older brother flew over to Brisbane, had a chat with my parents. And then, yeah, that's where all happened.
Oh, I love it, bro. Absolutely love it. And how has that transition been? Obviously, it's a brand new sport. You're with other players, like Jordy Patai, who's played for the Wallabies. You're coming from grassroots. How much of your family's journey, you know, your parents coming from Samoa, the sacrifices of your siblings, how much of that is a big motivation that lives in your heart every time you lace your boots up when things get tough?
Man, it means a lot. My whole family knows that this is the first time that I get to get out the house and live by myself. This is like another big step for me. What they said over the phone, they were like, keep praying. You know, we all back you. You know, we all love you. You know, we're so proud of you, that what you've done. You know, this wasn't easy. No, I feel like no one knows me, and then I'm trying to make a name for myself right now. So, you know, I know that my family is proud of me. So, yeah.
Well, honestly, bro, I hope you do get that opportunity to ring mum and let him know, and all your siblings know, that you're going to head over to America and fulfill your dream. And on that note, much love, all the best, and everyone here is backing you all the way, man. So good luck.
Thank you. I love it. Thank you.
Malo. All right, joining me on Fresh Off the Field this week is Janiro Wakeham, a former Suva grammar boy, and a former Fiji under-20s rugby representative who is now swapping the game they play in heaven for America's game. He's going through the IPP, the International Player Pathway Program, to hopefully secure a spot on an NFL roster. And he joins us right now. Janiro, bulavanaka, bro. Thank you for joining us.
Naka.
Man, how's it been so far? You've been in camp for a while. The big dance is nearly here for you to put everything forward and hopefully secure that spot. How's it been?
Yeah, I can't wait. It's been tough, like 7 weeks, 8 weeks now. It's been really tough trying to get through it.
Yeah, nice. And look, I've been to Fiji many times, and honestly, the only thing that comes close to American football, I feel, is all the forward passes that happen at Albert Park or in the villages. But there's obviously exciting times ahead. You know, how did this opportunity come about?
This opportunity started when I moved to London. Like, I played in Paris for 4 years, And then I moved to London. I got like a rugby contract when I moved to London. And then I met Dom, sent me a message on Instagram. And he asked me if I wanted to try out for the NFL IPP. And then he explained it to me, like how it's going to benefit me. And I didn't hesitate to say no. I agreed. It's like, okay, I'm jumping on the boat. I'm coming with you. Here I am today, sitting here in Florida.
Oh, man. And did you ever think that maybe with the Drua being so successful, I'm sure Glenn Jackson or Mick Byrne, were they ever on the phone for you to, you know, maybe come back home?
Nah. I hope. I was waiting. Like, I love their team, like Vision Drua. Like, I support them. Like, seeing the boys, like, playing that game for Fiji, I was like, oh, man, I just wish I get a call from the coaches. Like, can I join the team?
Well, 6'9", I don't know how they missed you, that's for sure. But now you're on a different journey. Who did you tell first, you know, back home? I'm assuming you have family back home. Like, did you tell first that, like, hey, I'm giving up rugby and I'm going to chase a new dream?
No, it's funny, like, because I'm close with my siblings and I'm close with my dad. Probably the whole family. I'm just close with everyone. So as soon as I told them, like, oh, I'm going to give up rugby and I want to try out the NFL. And they was like, what game is that? They was like, what game is that? I was like, it's NFL. Like, well, how do they play their game? And then I took like a screen record on my phone and I sent it to them. Like, this is how you play the game. Like, you can do forward pass. You can do forward pass in rugby, but you can do forward pass in this game. And he was like, oh, that's nice. What position will you play? I was like, I'm looking at offensive line tackle. Like, they told me that position suits me. And they asked me, like, what do you do in that position? I was like, I protect my QB. I look after my QB.
Hey, what's QB?
I forgot the position. It was funny.
Oh, man, I love that because, as I said, like, going to Fiji, man, the amount of forward passes that happen in one touch over there, so it doesn't surprise me that your dad didn't know what the game was. But even in the NFL itself, you know, a lot of Samoans, they look up to Jordan Mailata, you know, because they think, oh, yep, I want to be him. What Fijians have come through the NFL system at the moment that you know of?
To be honest, I don't think there's any Fijians that came through this program.
And so knowing that you're one of very few Fijians chasing this pathway at 6'9", how heavy are you?
344.
What's that in kilos? Is that 150-something kilos, is it?
156.
156 kilos?
Yeah.
Holy.
Before coming to this program, I was 117. 317. That was like 130.
Yep.
And then I just picked up like 20 kilos or 20 kg training and eating, like,
okay.
for position.
Yeah. In 7 weeks. In 7 weeks. So I guess when you found out that, okay, you need to go from 130 to 150 kilos, how excited were you where you go, yo, this is my game. I get to eat and be big.
I tell you, it's so exciting because when I've been playing rugby, it's like, you got to drop the weight. Drop the weight. As soon as I heard, like, oh, I can, like, I need to gain weight and stuff, I was like, oh, it's time to eat.
It's time to eat. And for yourself as well, I've got no doubt, like, throughout your rugby journey, there would have been coaches, hey, you need to be fitter. You need to get your weight down. Yeah. Now knowing that you've got the license to actually be big and be you, like, and be comfortable in your own body like that, do you feel like there should be more of our people playing NFL because it is our, I guess, a natural sport where you can be big?
Yeah, like, it's good. Like, more Islanders are coming through this program. And for this program, like, it opened, like, for other internationals to join in. It'd be so good, like, maybe in 2 or 3 years' time, and there'll be, like, a lot of Islanders playing in this game also. It's like similar as rugby, playing rugby. A lot of Islanders has moved to France or Japan playing rugby. Like, it'd be so good and exciting.
Yeah, I bet. The license to eat, there'll be a few boys and girls out there going, yo, thank you. The big day's coming. You know, how are you feeling? You're going into something new, and it's an audition that is one of the biggest in the world at the moment. How are you feeling?
I'm just really excited. Like, as soon as I jumped into this program, like, I'm gonna make it to week 10 and get into my combine. I'm also gonna have fun in this combine and also work hard to what I wanna achieve and show like the scouts that, oh, I'm here to do my work.
And what about the main messages that mum and dad and your family, when you talk to them, what's been their main messages towards you as you take on this journey?
Oh, my mom passed away 2 years ago. And she always tell me, like, work hard and just prove people wrong. There'll be people out there, like, saying, oh, you're just big and cannot do anything. People say, like, oh, you're big and soft. But my mom always see the good side of me and just remind myself. And she always tell me, like, remember, always remember the 4 o'clock every morning that you wake up and just prove people wrong.
Man, I love that. Absolutely love that. I'm sure you're going to do her very proud. And she'll be looking down, smiling, knowing that that you're doing that and your family will be right behind you. And all of us here are supporting you and all the other the boys are on that journey. Hopefully, you impress and enjoy the moment because it's going to be something special, man. Much love.
Vinaka vaka levu.
Well, thanks, everyone. Some wonderful stories of our amazing sporting talent from across the Pacific. But before we go, hold the phone, stay tuned. We're going to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, fresh off the dome. Every week I'll ask 3 questions, Priestley and Te Saraki. They'll use, or you use your name as your buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, you can also play along at home as well. Are you ready? Ready to go? Yes. Our non-drivers, both of you? Here we go. Let's play Fresh Off the Dome. Question number one. Heavyweight boxers, Teremoana Teremoana from the Cook Islands and James Singh from Fiji went at it over the weekend. Who won?
Priestley.
Go for it, Priestley.
Teremoana from Cook Islands.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, he did, and he seems like an absolute blast the way he enters the ring. So I don't know how you can whack people with a smile on your face like that. So he's an outstanding athlete. Yes, it was Cook Islander, Australian Teremoana Teremoana, who won with a knockout in the first round. It was the 4th fight in a row for him where he has won by knockout in the opening round. Impressive work from him. So let's get to question number 2, multiple choice. The FIBA Asia Cup 3-on-3 basketball competition is on right now in Singapore. Which of these countries are not in the tournament? Is it A, Papua New Guinea, B, Guam, or C, Palau?
We'll go with Guam.
No. Okay, let's go over to you, Priestley.
Palau.
And ding, 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 ding. Palau it is. They're not in it. Wow. Someone's done their homework.
Yes. Well, yes.
Priestley, you are the winner. Outstanding work, my friend. 2-0.
Thank you.
The prize is a round trip, ticket.
What an amazing show. That brings us to the end for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, Solomon Island senior journalist, Priestley Hubru. Thank you, Priestley.
Thank you to Sam, and always good to also co-host with another colleague from Kiribati, Te Saraki. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tumas.
Yeah, let me get to it right now. And big thank you to my other co-host from Kiribati, Te Saraki, Ko Rabwa. Love your work, people. Love your work. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with 2 new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.